The message today is the calling of our names. I will only read in an abbreviated sort of way, and then, in the will of God, bring things together later. John chapter 5. Verse 27. And the Father gave to the Son authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Chapter 10, verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Chapter 11, verse 41. So they took away the stone, verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Chapter 20, verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. In chapter 21, verse 15, So, when they had broken their fast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that it is with intelligence that we come before thee this morning. We are not like unto those who have monuments and altars to an unknown God, but we are thankful that thou hast clearly made thyself known unto us. Hast thou not been known of old as the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob? And of late hast thou not been known as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? We are thankful, our God, for the illumination that thou hast given us, the knowledge that we have of thee. We rejoice that it's all found in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We thank you that this one who was with thee came forth and illumined mankind's heart, revealing thee, disclosing thee in a way that man had never known. And we are thankful that now we know the God that thou art. And we desire to learn about thee and thy Son, our Father. So help us by thy Spirit this day. Let us know that on this day our hearts are filled with many things, distractions. By thy Spirit, overcome, interpose, and let something of worth be planted there, our God, and also empower the lips of him who speaks, and glorify thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, and bless us, we ask of thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This message came to me at 5:18 this morning. I rejoice because as soon as my eyes opened, this thought filled my mind. He is alive. Because these thoughts have filled my heart until today, the blackness, the darkness of death in the person of our Savior. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus died before he rose? And Friday at 3 o'clock, he died. And he remained dead Friday and Saturday and part of Lord's Day. That early in the morning, he was raised from the dead. And that is why, at this time, so early, the thought came to my mind, he is alive. Now, what is so interesting is this. When you read in the Gospels, the varied accounts, the thing that you can know for sure is that Jesus died about 3 o'clock. And what is so significant about that is that the lambs for the Passover began to be slain at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll find that the continual burnt offering was offered between the two evenings. That's the way it's expressed. Between the two evenings, between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And so when the Lord Jesus died after that total darkness, it was evening, but it was light, and it grew dark. That when our Savior was raised from the dead, it was dark, and it became light. And since the Lord Jesus has been risen from the dead, the light grows brighter and brighter, and it shall never be dark again. And in the portions that I've read to you today, they teach us the knowledge of the Son of God when it comes to those who have trusted him as Savior. I read other passages, and some I did not read that I want to tell you about, telling us that the Savior knows our names. In John chapter 10, it says that Christ being the shepherd, he knows the name of his sheep. A remarkable thing. He knows the names of his sheep. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, he knows your name. And if you have not trusted Christ as Savior, he knows your name as well. It says that our Savior knows the names of every star. If you look at writings of astronomers, they have found certain stars and they have given them names and numbers. But when they grasp the immensity of this universe and the number of the stars, they could not think of enough names to give to each star. But it says that God knows each star by name. You say, that is staggering. Yes. But what is more important to us, but just as staggering, is that he knows every one of your names. He knows you, whether or not you know him. He knows you're down sitting, you're uprising. He knows your thoughts afar off. And what is going to happen is this, that the same voice that spoke to those on earth shall, in the coming day, speak to those who are in the tombs, who are in the grave. And that's what it said in the first scripture I read to you, in John chapter 5. It said, the hour is coming in which all that are in the tombs, those that are in their graves, shall hear his voice and come forth. It says in chapter 10 that he calls his own sheep by name. Those that are in the tombs are going to hear his voice. We are not told that he's going to call their names. But in each account that I've read to you, there are personal addresses of the Lord Jesus Christ by name to these who are his own. And that is a comfort to the heart because of the variety of those who heard his voice. But the difference is this, that in the case of Lazarus, now grasp this, the Lord Jesus was alive, and Lazarus was dead, but Lazarus heard Christ's voice. In all the other instances that I read to you, in John chapter 20, those who heard his voice thought he was dead, but he was alive, and he spoke to those who were alive, and it reveals to us what took place in their hearts when they heard his voice. So understand this, that you will have heard Christ's voice in life and hearkened to that voice, or if you have not heard his voice in life, you will hear his voice in death, and you will hearken to that voice. Because the Lord Jesus is one who, when we speak to him, he hears us, he knows us. And what is so remarkable is that he knows our very names. Let me tell you a story my mother told me many years ago. Mother was controlled by drink for many years of her life, but then, thank God, for the last 17 years of her life, there was no drink at all. But she told me about a man that had been under the power of drink, that he had been delivered. He had trusted Christ as Savior, and he was not aware of much how to pray, that every morning, he would go in the church and sit in the pew, and he would simply say this, Jesus, this is Jimmy. That's all he would say. And people around him that were eloquent in prayers heard it. And every morning, he would come in, and he would simply say, Jesus, this is Jimmy. And then one morning he came in and sat down as usual. But this morning, instead of saying the same words, he was slumped over in his seat, and those around him said they heard this, Jimmy, this is Jesus. Now, we cry to the Lord, and simply mentioning our name, he knows what your need is. It's good to pour out your heart, but he knows what your name is. And what is more precious is this, that the Lord Jesus, who has heard you call your name and supplicate him for the needs that exist in your life, he also, in a coming day, is going to say, you, who I know, Jimmy, this is Jesus. That's the intimacy. You think that Jesus is not familiar with you? You think that you are unworthy? That he's not concerned about you? But he is. And at the same time, when you leave this world and go into the next, the Lord Jesus will introduce himself face to face, and he will say, Jimmy, this is Jesus. He did it to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus when Saul of Tarsus said, Lord, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Keep this in mind, that names are used in the Word of God, and it is most significant because our names are those by which we are known, to which we answer, and the names have much significance. So here in the portions that I've read to you, the calling on our names, it's the Savior calling our names. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But some having called upon him, then the Lord calls our names. Now, the first one is the one that is most astonishing. It's this. When he is at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus is one of the three Christians by name that the Bible tells us Jesus loves. He loves Martha and Mary and Lazarus, a whole family of Christians. And it says that the Lord Jesus loved each one individually. And it finally says in John 11 that this one whom Jesus loved, he whom thou lovest, is sick. And then he died. And the Lord Jesus came and was present at the tomb where Lazarus was buried. Now, this is what is astonishing, that Martha was afraid when she had besought the Lord to help her, because the Lord said, remove the stone from the tomb. She never suspected that Jesus was able to do and was going to do what he was about to do. She said, Lord, please, the embarrassment would be so great. He's begun to decompose. He stinks. Don't open that tomb. And the Lord Jesus said, said I not unto thee that if you believed, you would see the glory of God. And so she stepped back and said, all right, I commit it all to you. And the Lord Jesus offered a prayer to his Father. And then it says with a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, what is so remarkable is this. The moment that he said, Lazarus, his eyes would pop open, because at the mention of his name, he came to life. That is the marvel. And having come to life, he said, come forth. All Christ has to do to give life to the dead is to mention their name. That is why I trust that Jesus knows your name personally, one who has trusted him as Savior. Because if so, then in the coming day, he will call you by your name, and you will have returned to dust from which God made you. You shall open your eyes and see the Savior as Lazarus saw him at the grave. Understand that the one in John 11 whom Jesus called by name, he simply came forth and the Savior gave him no instructions. I must tell you about others because it's so precious. The others to whom he spoke, but he did not mention their names. That he uses descriptive words in telling them to come back from the dead into the land of the living. Three specifically are told us in the scriptures that Jesus raised from the dead. There was the widow of Nain's son, there was Jairus' daughter, and I've already told you about
Lazarus.
Now, understand that as soon as Jesus said, Lazarus, immediately life entered into him again. And he said, now, come forth. And he that was found head and foot came forth. Remarkable. The other is this, and it's so beautiful. Jairus had a little daughter, 12 years old, and she had been sick, and he wanted the Savior to hurriedly come and heal that little girl before she died. But there were interruptions, and finally, as the Lord Jesus neared the home, the servants came out and said, why troublest thou the master any further? Your daughter is dead. That means nothing to the Lord Jesus. If you're a good physician and your patient is critical, but you get there before the patient dies, something can be done. But if you are a physician and you get there and life is completely gone, then you have no more use. You do what you can for the living. But the Lord Jesus, when he is told that child is dead, it means nothing to the Lord Jesus. That is the marvel. If you are sick, it makes no difference what your sickness is. The Lord Jesus is sufficient to heal that sickness. And if you die, it makes no difference to the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus not only heals the sick, but he raises the dead. He is not only the great physician, he is the resurrection and the life. And to others, when he told that to me, the child isn't dead, she's sleeping, they laughed into scorn. But now, this is one of the most beautiful passages in the entire Word of God. He sent everybody out except the faithful few. And then he went into where the little dead child was lying. And he took her by the hand, and he said these words, Talitha kumi. And this is what it means. He said, little lamb, arise. Think of that. The Lord Jesus, with his heart of compassion and understanding, looked at that little dead child, and he said, little lamb, arise. And the girl sat up. And then the Lord Jesus said, give her something to eat. Now, he described her as a little lamb, which is so moving, because we often think that when a tragedy such as this comes into our lives, that God is unconcerned. What kind of feeling does God have? God knows when every little lamb dies and leaves this world and goes into the next. His heart is always moved more than yours when a child dies. I want you to understand that. But please understand also that the little child whom death took out because of our sin, our relation to Adam, the Lord Jesus, by a descriptive word, by the mention of a name, can immediately give life where sin brought death. And so the Lord Jesus, with feeling and understanding and compassion, says to that child, little lamb, arise. And the child did arise. This is for all of you fathers and mothers who have lost children. I tell you that the Lord Jesus is the one who can mention their name. Your little lambs that have been taken from you, the Lord Jesus can mention their names, and they will come back, and the Lord Jesus can restore them to you again. Now, the widow of Nain, think, a widow, she's lost her husband, and she had an only son, and the son died, and now she has nothing. And the Lord Jesus sees them in a funeral procession, going to bury that only son. And the Lord Jesus, this time, does not take the hand, but he puts his hand upon the bier, that upon which the son laid. And the Lord Jesus said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he sat up and started talking. Understand that when Jesus said, "Little lamb," life came back to that girl. And when the Lord Jesus said, "Young man," life came back. He either mentioned your name or he did something descriptive of you. A little lamb, a young man. The Lord Jesus knows how old you are. He knows the feelings of your mother's heart, a father's heart, when you leave this world and go into the next. And so the Lord Jesus, in these instances, gives descriptive words, "Young man," "little lamb," and he says, "Arise," and they arise. I rejoice that my Savior in advance has demonstrated that he is the resurrection and the life, because it is one thing for a man to say, "I am the resurrection and the life," but having said it, to speak a man's name and to demonstrate that he is the resurrection and the life, that is another thing. And therefore, if before he comes I go, I'm not going to worry, because all he has to do in that coming day is to call me by my name. And as he said, "Lazarus," and he came to life, he shall mention my name, and I shall come to life. And this is what I find, that the Savior, when one is dead, he knows where you are lying. He knew where Lazarus was. And at the same time, when it comes to Mary, whose heart was broken, he knew where she was, and he went to Mary. And when he needed to know where Thomas was, he knew where he was. And also when Peter had gone fishing, suppose he had expected Peter to be in a more reverent place, a more hallowed place, but the Lord Jesus knew where he was. There was an old man, and it was getting near the time when he was to die, and his children said, "Father, where do you want us to bury you?" And the father said, "Bury me wherever you please. God will be able to find me." That is the important thing. It does not matter where you are when you die. God will find you. That is the encouragement to all of you who have trusted Christ as Savior, and for all of you who have rejected Christ as Savior, and some have gone to great extremes so that God could never find them. They've had themselves cremated, and their ashes spread over the face of the earth. And they've said, "Now let God find me." God will find you. But the thing for us is this, that we want God to find us. And if we say, "I wonder if God, if this old man said, 'Bury me where you please,' God would be able to find me," then you have nothing to fear. In the case of Moses, God could bury Moses and you'll never find Moses. But no man can bury you and God will not be able to find you. But now, notice this, that the Savior in calling names is not giving physical life, as in the case of Lazarus, but he is imparting spiritual life, because at times as we believers in Christ go through life, our spirits droop, we are depressed, all hope is gone. And the Lord Jesus knows the particular need of every one of us. And here is Mary, who loved the Lord Jesus. He's gone. The Savior that meant everything to her has been taken away. And the Lord Jesus knows that. And all the sorrow and weeping that filled her heart, it disappeared when Jesus said, "Mary." That's all it took. Just as Lazarus brought him to life physically, so this one who has a broken heart filled with sorrow and hopelessness, the Lord Jesus mentions her name, and all that gloom is gone. Now, notice this, that in each case, when our Savior speaks a name, in the case of the dead, something happens. The young man sits up and he starts talking. the little girl opens her eyes and starts walking. Lazarus comes forth, and in like manner, in these cases that I told you about Mary and Thomas and Simon, something happens when Jesus speaks their name. In the case of Mary, she says, Rabboni, which means my master, my teacher, my guide, my counselor, the one that she thought was gone. He is alive again, and he speaks her name, and then he gives her an errand to run. Do you understand? When he calls their name, he always gives them an errand. He always works upon their souls, because as they are the physical dead, and he speaks their names, and life enters their bodies, so in like manner, when we are depressed and all hope is gone, he speaks our names, and whatever that particular need is fulfilled by the speaking of our name. Now, here's Thomas, the one who will not believe. And the Lord Jesus simply comes and says to him, he says, Thomas. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Now, wasn't that remarkable? Here is an insurmountable obstacle to Thomas ever believing. And the Lord Jesus can mention his name, and then he can display himself and say to him, Thomas, you would believe because you've seen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet had believed. He knew what Thomas needed. He needed reassurance that Christ was alive from the dead. And when Thomas sees him, notice, my Lord and my God. And in the case of Simon Peter, he sees him by the seaside. And when he comes to him, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? You see? He calls his name. And when he calls his name, he restores his soul, and then he gives him a work to accomplish throughout the rest of his life. He says, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know all things. You know that I love you. He said, then feed my lambs and feed my sheep. And so has Christ called your name? Has he? Are you depressed? Are you sorrowful? Are you without hope? Does it seem as if there is nothing to live for in the world? If you will listen, Jesus will speak your name. And whatever your need is, that need will be met when you hear the voice of Jesus speak your name. He speaks to us in life, and if he does not come, he will speak to us in death. And whatever our need is, when we hear his voice, that need will disappear. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the voice of the Son of God. How tender it can be. Little lamb, arise. How magnificent it can be. Lazarus, come forth. And our Father, that is nothing as to the magnitude that it shall utter in that coming day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And when that shout comes, all our God who are dead shall rise, and all of those who are living who have trusted Christ the Savior shall hearken and shall obey. As Lazarus came forth from the tomb, we shall go forth to meet him in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Father, we are aware that life is filled with sorrow. We are thankful that now we know that the uttering of our name by Jesus shall dispel all the sorrow and darkness and gloom, and light and joy shall fill our souls. Let us listen, our God, for Jesus to speak our name. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.